tonight is, we have a ninth lesson. We're starting tonight. We're adding four more classes on, and this one is Faith Toward God. So praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and get started in the lesson. Everybody have their outline? Everybody ready to go? Hallelujah. Okay, tonight's lesson, Faith Toward God. I'd like us to turn over first to Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. And before we do that, let's just take a moment of prayer. Hallelujah. Father, we come before you right now in the name of Jesus. We come to you, Father, by faith. Knowing, Father, that each and every one of us, we diligently seek you. And that you reward that. I thank you, Father, for each and every person here tonight. That they know about faith. And that they seek to please you, Father. So I just thank you, Father, that the Word of God will be deeply embedded in each and every one here. And that faith will rise up within them. And they'll take hold of it and run with it. And not let it go. In Jesus' name. Amen. In the first two verses of Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, it reads, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, we're going to read here six principles that the writer of Hebrews is saying that we should leave or move on from. Let us go on to perfection. So those things which I'm going to read to you is considered milk word or milk teaching. Let us go on to perfection, not laying again, number one, the foundation of repentance from dead works. Number two, faith toward God. That's what we're going to be teaching on tonight. Number three, doctrine of baptisms. Number four, laying on of hands. Number five, resurrection of the dead. And number six, eternal judgments. You see, right, these right here are considered the principles of the doctrines of Christ. This is milk teaching. Resurrection of the dead, eternal judgments. The writer of Hebrews is saying that this is milk teaching that we need to know as young Christians that we need to have established within ourselves. So tonight we're going to learn faith toward God. Let's go to our first scripture, which is Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Now for those of you that are new here tonight, you've all been given an outline, and with that outline, the scriptures are with it on the second page. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 reads, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And our question number one reads, how does faith come? See, faith comes, it always comes. When the word of God is preached, faith comes. And it comes from hearing the word of God. So faith comes to you when the word of God is being preached or when it's being taught. But it is up to us as individuals to receive that faith. See, faith is there. It comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith-filled words must be spoken. In other words, I've got to believe in what I'm teaching and preaching to you, and that has to be transmitted to you by the Word of God. It doesn't come from my words. It doesn't come from man's words or ideas, but it comes from the Word of God. For example, the word says that by his stripes we are healed, and that the Lord sent his word and healed them. So you have to accept that as personal for you. When that word is preached, you have to say, yes, I believe that. And you take that and you receive it and you act on it and you live it. So first off that we see here that the word of God must be preached, then faith comes, and second is hearing. You have to hear. You must apply yourself to hear. Like the illustration I've given before, if this whole room was a room and everybody was talking at one time, and you hear your name mentioned over in that corner, you can shut everybody else off and tune in to what they're saying about you. See, because you have what? Inclined your ear. You have made yourself listen to what they're saying. It says in Proverbs chapter 2 and in chapter 4, it says, incline your ear unto my sayings. So you have to make yourself listen. You have to make yourself hear the Word of God. Has there ever been a time like when you've been sitting under the Word of God, or matter of fact, listening to anybody speak, and you're off thinking about something else? See, because you have to make yourself listen. You have to make yourself hear. If you find yourself wandering or thinking about other things, then bring that into captivity and say, no, I'm going to hear the Word of God. Make yourself do it. Incline your ear. Make that ear listen. Make that word, let that word come inside of you. See, faith is there, but you have to receive it and you've got to listen to it. What did Jesus say? He who has ears, let him hear. See, Jesus is saying here, let him hear. It's up to us to hear. And that word here means to listen and to consider, to ponder and meditate. In other words, that word that's being taught or preached, afterwards it's going to stay with you. And you're going to think about it. And you're going to ponder over it. You're going to perceive it and take it and receive it as your very own. So you have to take that word and accept it and say, yes, I believe that. I receive that. And if it asks you to, or if it causes you to do something, then you do what the word says to do. So we have to have an open heart to the Word of God. And any time strife or debate comes up, I don't really want to know if I want to believe that or not. If it's in the Word of God, it is true. It's not to be prayed about, debated about. It's to be accepted and believed on as the truth, because the Word of God is the truth. So we have to have a mindset. What's a mindset? You have to set your mind, like before a class or before a teaching, set your mind saying, I'm going in to hear the Word of God tonight. I'm going to receive the Word of God tonight. And if it causes me to do it, I'm going to do it. So you have to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. If you just go in under a teaching of the Word of God and you hear the Word and you aren't a doer of the Word, then you have deceived yourself. So we need to believe it, receive it, and act on it. How does faith come? It comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Let's go on to number two. Who is our foundation built upon? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. I'm also going to read verse 10. Verse 10 and 11 read, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For no other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Who is the foundation built upon? Jesus Christ is the foundation that we build upon. Everything that is taught, everything that is learned, everything that is studied should be in light of Jesus Christ and your salvation. Does it reflect the man up here who's preaching or teaching? Does it reflect his glory, or is the glory going to God? So we see right here that the foundation is Jesus Christ. So everything that we learn, do, and teach and are taught is based on the rock, and the rock is Jesus. In verse 10, there's a warning. It says, take heed how he builds thereon. Teachers and us Christians who share the gospel with other people, there's a warning here. Take heed how you build on that foundation of Jesus Christ. When you share the gospel with somebody, you are to share the full truth. Not just part of the truth, but the whole truth. Don't leave anything out. Don't compromise the Word of God saying, well, you know, that might be too hard for them to hear this. No, you give the full counsel of God when you minister to somebody. See, there's a warning there. It says, take heed. We are to take heed, or watch out how we build upon that foundation. And that foundation is Jesus. He is the cornerstone. And every faith-filled word and every faith-filled teaching that we receive is another block that's added to that foundation. And there's another one added and another one added until it builds a firm house. A house built of stone, not of sand. A house built of stone is according to the word of God, because we hear it, we believe it, and we do it. To one person, that same building stone, that same cornerstone, Jesus Christ, can be a stumbling block. Why? How can a word that gives life, how to one person they receive it, oh, praise God, that's just what I needed. And another person, they just kind of shrug it off. They don't want to believe it. See, to that one, they've become disobedient because they don't want to receive the word. And that same word which they're rejecting has become their stumbling stone, and they fall over it. To one it's a blessing, to another one it's a curse, and yet it's the same word that goes forth. It's how it's received. Is it received with an open heart, or is it received with a debating heart? See, the Bible says that we're to search the scriptures and see if that which is true. What I'm saying, you're to study out and find out for yourself. That's why we have outlines. That's why we have scripture references, for you to go back and study the Word of God and have the Holy Spirit witness that to you. If you find anything within yourself wanting to reject the Word of God, or any opposition with inside you, search and find out why. Go to the Word of God. Go to God in prayer and find out why. Why is there opposition? So every word that we learn must be anchored in Jesus Christ. In Jesus. There's no other foundation which can be laid than Jesus Christ. See, we got to be hungry for the power of the Word of God. The power of the Word of God, or the Word of God that's going to cause change in your life. You see, if we believe in our hearts that when Jesus Christ appears, that we're going to be like Him, it says, he that has this hope within himself purifies himself even as He, or Jesus, is pure. If you know that you're going to be like Jesus when He appears, then you're going to want to purify yourself. And if you want yourself pure, then you're going to want the Word of God that's going to cause change in your life. If there's something wrong in your life, and you don't know about it, wouldn't you want God to show you what it is so you can get it right with Him? I would. I do. So we see that the Word of God is for building purposes, to build us up, to purify us, to purge us, to make us that fit habitation. So Jesus is that foundation. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. We're going to define faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It becomes so real to you that you know that you know that you have it, but yet you don't see it. It'd be just like somebody giving you a piece of paper and saying, you have just been awarded this piece of land. And all you have is a piece of paper. You've never seen the land. This is your title deed saying, oh, right there, Mark Smith has been given, 100 acres. I accept that paper and I receive it as mine. Even though I've never seen the land, I know that land is mine. Because this paper says so. If you come across the promise in the Word of God, and it says that belongs to you, even though you haven't seen the result of that promise in your life yet, you can claim it as yours. You believe it, you receive it personally, and it becomes yours. As long as you take it in context of what the Word of God is saying. Do you realize that people can take things out of context, take one scripture from here and another one from here and build it together and build their own little doctrine? The Word of God says that Judas hung himself. And there's another scripture in the Word of God that says, go and do likewise. You can build a suicide doctrine. Judas hung himself, go and do likewise. You see how people can twist the word? But that's not what it says. You've got to read it in the context of what it's saying. So we see here that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We're starting out with something we don't see, but we believe that we have it, even though we don't have it. What I mean, you don't have it physically, but you know that you have it. Have you ever prayed to God and asked for something, and yet you were just so full of joy, you knew that you had it, but you didn't see it yet? I'd like to give you an example. Our rent came due one day, and we needed $400 to pay it. And I went before God, and I read the Word of God concerning Him meeting my needs. And I told Him about it, and I prayed to Him, and I knew that I had that $400. I was even given an eviction notice. I had to be out 24 hours if it wasn't paid. But that assurance was so deep within inside me that I just forgot about it. Within 3 to 4 hours, somebody walked up to me and said, I just can't take this anymore. Here, the Lord's been dealing with me for 2 weeks. Here, $400 check. I would have never got that late notice if they would have listened the first time. Hallelujah. But you see, I knew that I knew that I knew that I had it, and I didn't see it. That's faith. That's having faith in God, trusting in His Word that God's going to supply and provide your need. Amen? Amen. So faith is a substance. It is assurance, confirmation. It is your title deed. Even though you don't see it, you know that you have it. Hallelujah. It's proof of something we don't see. That's what evidence is. Evidence. We need evidence. Do you have evidence that Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life? Do you know deep down inside, without a shadow of a doubt, that Jesus is your Lord? You see, that's our first act of faith. You heard the Word of God preached to you. And at that moment, you had to make a decision when you heard the gospel. You had to make a decision. Wow, am I going to believe that or not? See, faith came to you. And at that moment, you either received it or rejected it. And each and every one of you received it. That was your first act of faith. Faith came by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You said, yes, I am a sinner. I do need to repent. Jesus, I want you as my Lord. And you became a Christian. That was your first act of faith. And from then on, everything that we do after that is an act of faith. For it does say in the Word of God, whatever is not of faith is sin. The very breath that we take is by faith because God provides that. God provides the air for us to breathe. So you see here that we have substance of things we don't see. We have the evidence of things not seen. You've got substance and you have evidence. Even though you don't see it, you just know that you have it because the Word of God promises it to you. Once you have evidence, once you have substance, once you know that you have it, you're not going to be moved. You're not going to waver and you're not going to doubt. If you find yourself wavering or doubting, it's because you're really not trusting in the Word of God. Satan's going to come along and he's going to try to cause you to doubt God's word. He doesn't want that seed sown in your heart. He wants to steal it from you. And as soon as you're believing something from God and you've spoken it out loud and you say, I'm going to stand in faith till I receive this promise, whatever the promise might be, let's say it's healing. And you're standing in faith. He's going to come along and try to attack you harder and worse than he ever has before. Because he wants to make you waver and fall from your stand in faith. And it is up to us whether we accept that evil report, accept that fiery dart, or we reject it. If the Word of God says something, and you know that it's for you, you receive it, and no matter what's happening around you, you're going to stand fast. Because you know what the Word of God says. Hallelujah. So we have concrete evidence without sight. Amen? Let's go to number 4. How was Abraham able to keep the promise of God? Romans chapter 4, verse 17, then verse 20 and 21. Verse 17 reads, "As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were." You see, this here is describing God right here. It says that he is one who quickeneth the dead. Were we not dead in trespasses and sins? Weren't we dead and we were made alive? Were you not, each and every one of us, raised from the dead when we received Jesus Christ? Yes, because we were all doomed and destined for hell. When we received Jesus Christ, we were raised from the dead. That's when eternal life started, when you got saved. And it says right here that God calls those things which are not as though they were. When God said, light be, light didn't exist before. He said, light be, and light was, and it still is. You see that? And we are children of God. We're made in the image and likeness of God, so we're to imitate our Father. That's what faith is. Calling those things which are not as though they are. You see that? I had to believe for my healing and stand on my healing before I received my healing. And then when I believed it, got it down into my heart, and spoke it out of my mouth, after a period of time, I was healed. Some people get healed instantaneously. Others, it's a gradual thing. But the Word of God says, if you lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. And that's what I stand on. The Word of God. And I confess it and I accept it as personal for myself. So we see right here, this is describing faith. Calling those things which are not as though they were. So you see here, as children imitate their parents, a lot of things you don't want your children to imitate, but they imitate them anyway, because we're supposed to be the example. And also, younger brothers and sisters imitate their older brothers and sisters. Is not Jesus like our elder brother? Wasn't he the firstborn from the dead? And we are those raised from the dead or born again thereafter? You see, we imitate Jesus and we imitate our Father God. They are our example. So what they did, they are our examples, and we're to follow their example. It says, follow. I'm going to read that real quick in Ephesians. Ephesians 5:1 reads, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." You see, that word followers means imitate. We're to be imitators of God as dear children. You ever seen little kids? They get all dressed up like mommy and daddy. They wear the clothes and the hat and the big shoes because they want to be like mommy and daddy and all grown up. Okay? We're to imitate God like that. We're to see what he did, and we can do those things also. Calling those things which are not as though they were. Let's read verses 20 and 21. "He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able to perform." It says here that he staggered not at the promise through unbelief, the promise of God through unbelief. You see that? When you know the promises of God are for you, you are not to stagger at them. Abraham is the father of faith. He's our example. He knew that if God said something, that God was going to do it. And you too need to know that and get that down within you. If it is in the Word of God and it is a promise for you and I, we are not to stagger at it either through unbelief. You're to look at it and say, wow, look at that. And you're to receive it and believe it, and it becomes yours. And what did he continue doing? Giving glory to God. You continue therein with thanksgiving. After you have believed it, received it to yourself, said it out of your mouth, and you just continue therein with thanksgiving, giving glory to God. See, he didn't doubt. He may have tried to get in there and mess it up and do it in his own flesh, you know, but he still didn't doubt that God could bring him a child. He staggered not. What does it mean to stagger? Have you seen a drunk person, they stagger? It says this person, he staggered not. He was strong. He was firm. He was fixed. He wasn't moved by the outward circumstances of his age or of his wife's age. Because he knows that what God says, God's going to do. And that's what you have to believe. Like I said before, you need to have the evidence. Just like me, for example, at work. If things aren't going right, I utter a prayer. Because I know that I trust in God and he's going to work all things together for good. And everything just looks like it's going haywire. I'll pray to God and I'll remind myself of the promises of the Word of God and what they say. Then all of a sudden, I know that that prayer is answered. And I continue my day and everything just starts falling into place. Because I know that God is faithful. He is faithful and I'm his child. And just each and every one of you are his child and he wants to do that for you. If things aren't going right, go to God in prayer and speak what has to be turned around. Okay? And you'll see it. So right here, this is our method of reproduction. Faith is our method of reproduction. In order for you and I to have come to the Lord, this method of reproduction had to be enacted. The Word of God had to be preached. We had to receive it and believe it. And that's how it's gone on through the generations. By faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. The Word of God was preached 2,000 years ago to somebody. They received it and believed it. And it was on and on and on till somebody preached it to you and somebody preached it to me and we believed it. You see, that's the method of reproduction in the Spirit. Somebody preached the Word of God to you, they believed that you receive it, and you received it, and you became a child of God. Jesus Christ is your Lord. It takes a belief in the heart, the confession of the mouth, and claiming it till it comes to pass. And just a little word of warning, when you do claim the promises of God, you always have to check yourself the motive while you're asking. Is it for selfishness or is it giving glory to God? Okay, like I've said before, that people come up for prayer to be rid of pain, to get pain out of their body because they can't stand the pain anymore. You see, you understand what I'm trying to say? That people come up for a selfish motive. They come up and just rid me of this. And once they're rid of it, it's kind of like they forget about God afterwards. You know, they just kind of go their own way. Or do you come back like the one leopard, giving thanks to the Lord? 10 were healed, 1 came back and gave thanks, and he was made whole. So you need to be secure in the Word of God by not staggering, by not wavering. Know that what God says in his Word, that it's truth and it's for you. It says here, right, that he staggered not at the word of God through unbelief. So unbelief can come in. So how do you get rid of unbelief? We all want to get rid of unbelief. We want to stay rid of unbelief. Get the word of God inside you. See, unbelief comes up through the unrenewed mind and through the reasonings. Because we try to reason things out. And as you start reasoning things out, this mind here has been filled with garbage for many years. And that tries to come into play. Hey, well, listen, you got pain in your body. Yeah, the Word of God says you're healed, but yeah, you've got pain. And the Word of God says that Jesus bore my pain. Well, how can I have pain then? You see how the imaginations can start taking over? You reject those thoughts and you say what the Word of God says because the Word of God is truth. The Word is reality. This is what is truth. Sure, you've got pain. But what did Jesus do? He bore that pain. He bore that sickness for you. Abraham was fully persuaded in what God said. We need to be fully persuaded. Just didn't say persuaded, it said fully persuaded. You know that you know that you know that God's going to perform what He said He's going to do. So we see here that faith is a way of life. Let's go on to number 5. Okay, a lot of us have, those of us who've been here for a while and been through faith teaching before, these scriptures here are very familiar to you, the one I'm about to read. But I wanted to bring up one aspect of these scriptures here. It says, what two things hinder the God kind of faith? Let's look at hindrances to faith right now. Mark chapter 11, verse 22 to 26. Mark 22, verses 22 to 26. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Two hindrances of faith right here. One is doubting in your heart, and the other one is unforgiveness. Don't think that you're going to receive anything from God if you doubt His word, or if you have aught against somebody else, or if you have something against somebody, if you're holding a grudge against somebody. You're not going to receive anything from God. It's just plain right here. Jesus right here is giving us the doorway. He is explaining here the God kind of faith to us. He is stating here a spiritual law that works for good or for bad. Because it says right here, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, whosoever, didn't say Christian, it said whosoever. There's people in the world, I used to be a part of a movement called Silver Mind Control. And these people, when they asked for something, they got it. I mean, this one guy, he'd go to the grocery store, and he goes, I get a front row parking every time I go there, because I know that I'm going to get it. He goes to the grocery store, he gets a front row parking every single time. It says right here, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall say, he shall have whatsoever he saith. If you speak negative and you believe negative, it will come to pass. For instance, have you ever heard the saying, or have you ever said it? I think I'm coming down with something. I think I'm getting the flu. It's flu season. It's flu season. You know, when you think about it now, it doesn't even make sense. I'm coming down with something. You haven't got it yet, but you're going to believe that you're going to come down with it. Then all of a sudden you start coughing, your throat start getting sore, and you start getting a fever. Why? Because you believed it in your heart, and you confessed it with your mouth, and you got what you said. It's a spiritual law. That's why Jesus says here, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Jesus is directing us here on how to use the God kind of faith in our prayer life, establishing God's word in this earth. That's what he wants us to do. So if you've got any mountains in your life, speak to those mountains and tell them to get. See, Jesus is very specific here. He's talking to this mountain, and he says, go into the sea. You have to be specific. When you go to God in prayer, or if there's a circumstance or situation in your life, you have to be specific. You have to point to it or talk to it and say, you, You're in my way. Get out of my way. And this is where I want you to go. Be specific in your prayers. Don't be general in your prayers. Be very specific. So God has given each and every one of us the measure of faith. God has given each of us the same measure of faith. You have the same amount of faith as I have. But some people use it more than others do. One person might look like a faith giant. What he says he gets. And everything's happening in his life. And another person looks at him, wow, I wish I could be like that. He's taking and believing the promises of God. And the other person is just being passive, not thinking that God's going to do it for him. But we've all been given that same measure of faith. Each and every one of us. The Word of God says that God is not a respecter of persons. What God does for one person, He'll do for you. If we stagger not at His promise or at His Word. So right here, two hindrances to faith. One is doubting in your heart. See, Jesus here, He warns us. And shall not doubt in his heart. So He's right here, He's telling us that there is a possibility of us doubting in our heart. So that's why He adds that in there. He could have left that out. But no, He wants us to be aware that there is a possibility that we can doubt in our heart and waver from the promises of God. And also if we have any unforgiveness or anything against someone else, or it won't be heard. Okay, let's go on to the next one. Number 6. Why the need for patience? Why do we have to have patience? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 and 36. It says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. You see right here, after you have prayed or you're believing for something, from the time that you have prayed or asked for it, and from the time that you receive it, there's a space and time in between there. It's patience. Okay? It's going to show you who you are trusting in. Are you believing in God and His Word? Or is it just a mental assent? And you'll be able to tell right away. Because you'll be standing for a while, and then you don't see it coming to pass, and you start to think, and you start to doubt, and you start to waver, and boom. You speak against it, and you've just blotted out everything that you're believing in. It's going to show you who you're believing in. That period, that time of patience. It says we're not to cast it away. You're not to throw it away. Like, you ever seen the expression where people just, they just kind of throw up their hands and they walk away. You see, they've just, that's what the Lord was showing me, casting away your confidence. See, at first when you prayed and you believed and you saw what the Word of God said, you said, yeah, that's for me. I need that right now. And you went to God in prayer and you believed it. But then after a while, that boldness, that fervor, that desire just kind of seemed to fade away. You said, I guess it doesn't work. You just threw away your confidence. You didn't continue in the Word. It says continue in the Word. Continue in the Word. And that truth will make you free. Continue it. Don't throw it away. Don't set it aside. Believe it, receive it, and don't move. Don't waver. It says right here that it has great recompense of reward. For we have need of patience. Patience, that means being consistent, non-wavering, standing still, holding your ground. We need to hold the ground and not move. Why the need for patience? Number one, to find out who we're trusting in. Are we trusting in ourselves or are we trusting in the Word of God? Do you believe what the Word of God says? It's a question we all need to ask ourselves. So don't throw away your confidence or your boldness. Have that trust and assurance in the ability of God and Jesus Christ and what the Word of God says. There's great recompense of reward. There's victory for you now and when you need it. The Word of God says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. If you're being afflicted, if something's not going right with you, grab hold of that word. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. I thank you, Father, I'm being delivered, that you're going to deliver me. You're going to set me free out of this circumstance and situation. He delivers you out of them all. Not some of them, all of them. Amen? Amen. You see, I grab hold of promises like that because I need them too. Things don't always go right for me. Things aren't always great for me. But I have trust and faith in my God. I know He's my Father and He's going to take care of me. Because I believe His Word and I put it to use and I put it to work. Hallelujah. Number 7. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16, the shield of faith is used for... Let's read Ephesians 6:16 and answer that question. In Ephesians chapter 6 here, starting with verse 10 through 17, it's talking about God's armor. And the part of it we're going to look at is verse 16. And it states here, the first two words, it says, above all. Above all. See, there's something very important about this. Above all, taking the shield of faith. There's a taking involved here. You got to take it. You got to pick it up. Taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. You see, it's not our armor. First off, it's God's armor. He gives us His armor to use. We don't have any defense of our own. It's everything comes from God. But it says here, above all, take that shield of faith and quench those fiery darts. You see, like I told you before, the enemy, he wants you to fall. He wants you to waver. He wants to steal from you. He wants to kill you and he wants to destroy you. When that fiery dart comes, you're to block it with the shield of faith. You're to take that word of God and you're to speak to that circumstance and situation and say, you don't accept it. Fiery dart, get away from me. Whatever that fiery dart may be, whether it be finances, healing, health, a job, a pay raise. If things aren't going right, you reject those fiery darts and claim what God says in His Word. Above all, take that shield of faith. Don't waver, don't doubt, but stand fast. Block those fiery darts. It says quench. It says put them out. Quench means to put it out. If that fire is stinging you, then put it out with the word. Drench it. All the attacks of the enemy. If you're submitted to God, the word of God says you can resist the devil and he's going to flee from you. That word flee means he's going to run in terror from you. You see that? Be submitted to God, resist the devil, and he's going to run in terror from you. But he is going to come, and you are going to be tested. Your faith will be tested. That's why we've got to take that shield of faith and stand on the Word of God. So what is the shield of faith used for? To quench and put out all the attacks of the devil and his demons. Those forces that try to come against you. It says there in verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what we're wrestling against. That's where those fiery darts are coming from. They're coming out to each and every one of you to destroy you. But God says here in His Word that with a shield of faith, we can quench those. When they're coming, we can block them with the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit. Okay, let's go to number 7. Numbers 8. Galatians chapter 5, verse 5 and 6. Galatians 5, verses 5 and 6 read, "For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith worketh by love." This here tells us how faith works. So let's answer the question here. In these verses, the hope of righteousness is by faith and worketh through love. The hope of righteousness is by faith. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it was by faith that you did that. Like I said, you heard the Word of God preached, you believed it, you received it as yours, and you spoke with your mouth, "Jesus is my Lord." The hope of righteousness you received by faith. Not any works of your own. You couldn't earn salvation. You couldn't work for salvation, because Jesus did it all for you. He was the one who died for our sins. His blood was shed for us. And it says here that faith works by love. What kind of love is this that it's talking about? It's talking about agape love. Selfless love. A love that does not, it's a love that gives but doesn't ask for anything in return. That's what kind of love that God had for us. That He loved us while we were yet sinners. He sent Jesus Christ to die for us. That's a selfless love. That's the kind of love that faith works by. If there's any selfishness or any ill motive, then faith won't work in your life. Any ill will. Let me read 1 Corinthians 13:2. First Corinthians 13:2 says, "And though I have the gift of prophecy and understandeth all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity or love, I am nothing." Faith without love is nothing. So faith works by love. You have to have that God kind of love, that agape love, flowing and working through your life. So always check out yourself and ask yourself, what is the motive for my asking and my receiving? Why do I want this? Why do I need this? Why am I asking for this? It's good to ask yourselves questions. Find out the reason why. Find out your heart. Find out what's in your heart and why you're needing this or why you're asking for this. Do you want it to consume it upon your own lust? Or do you want it because you actually need it? It's a need. It's a need you have, and God wants to meet that need. Let's go to number 9. The question is, does your faith need to be put to work? James chapter 2, verse 14, then verse 17. Verse 14 and 17 read, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." We need to have action with our faith. If there is a promise in the Word of God that you're standing on, and there's a condition, you need to meet the condition. You need to put your faith into action. Faith needs to be in every part of your life. Things weren't going so good again for me the other day at work. And I just said, "Lord, order my day aright." And boom, 1, 2, 3. He told me what to do right in a row. 1, 2, 3. And I went and did it, and it just went smooth. See, I have to put my faith into action. If I would have heard from the Lord and didn't do what He said, it would have went on just the way it was going before. But I heard what He said, and I put it into action. I did it. There's a lot of times that that you say, yeah, oh, I have faith in God. Praise God, I know that I'm healed. Boom! A fiery dart from the enemy comes. You get attacked with some type of symptom or some type of disease comes upon you. And boom, right then and there, it's going to tell you, can that faith that you're saying, is that going to save you? Are you trusting the Word of God? Or are you just speaking words? Are you grounded in the Word of God? Is that Word deep with inside of you? In order to get the Word deep down inside of you, you need to meditate on it. You need to hear it, receive it, believe it, and go over it and over it and over it. Just because you think that you've learned something once doesn't mean you shouldn't go back and go over and over until it becomes part of your very being. Living by faith should be very natural to you. Very natural. Asking, believing, and receiving. Asking, believing, and receiving should be very natural to you. It's a way of life for us as a Christian. The Word of God says that we have not because we ask not. So if something's not going right in your life, just ask yourself, wait, did I pray about this situation? Did I ask God that I needed help here? You ask not because you have not. And there's also a warning that goes on to say there in James that if you do ask and you ask amiss to consume it upon your own lust, you're not going to get it either. So there's checks and balances here. I want to read one scripture to you in Colossians. If you do everything in light of this scripture, you're not going to go wrong. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, it says, and whatsoever you do in word, whatever you're speaking, and whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. If each and every one of us would live that scripture, and giving glory to God, everything in our lives would go right. Every word that we'd speak, every deed that we'd do, if we do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving glory to the Father, just think how your life would go. I tell you, the enemy would come in and attack you and test you. But just be ready for it. Be ready for that attack from the enemy. Because your faith is going to be tested. So does your faith need to be put to work? Yes, your faith needs to be put into action. So you need to speak faith-filled words based on the Word of God. You hear it, you believe it, you receive it, and you act on it. Okay, let's go to our last one, number 10. Is it possible to please God without faith? Now remember, God is a faith God. Created everything by faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So it says right here, is it possible to please God without faith? Nope. So the first time it says right here, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is. Do you believe that God is? Is God the great I Am of your life? Is He the all-sufficient one? Is He your provider? Is He the Lord that healeth thee? He is to me, and I know He is to you, because the Word of God says so. I believe that He is, and it says that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Are we diligently seeking God? That same word diligent comes from Timothy when it says, study to show yourself approved. That's that same word. You're to diligently seek God. You're to strive after. You're to exert yourself. So then you need to ask. See, I always ask myself questions. When I start getting complacent and things don't start going my way, am I diligently seeking God? Or when everything's going your way, do you forget about God? And when everything starts messing up, God! You call out to Him. See, ask yourself those questions. Find out why. Because when everything's going smooth and going right, you know, it's easy to praise God. It's easy, oh, hallelujah, things are going great. In Hebrews, it also talks about offering unto God the sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of our lips. When things aren't going right, when things aren't going smooth, it says, then praise Him. Then it becomes a sacrifice of praise. Hallelujah. And He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Because at that time, you're diligently seeking Him, and He is a rewarder, and He's going to reward you and going to pull you out of that situation. Because you're acting in faith. You're taking Him at His word. And He's going to diligently reward you because you're diligently seeking Him. So what are some things here that we want to remember tonight? First, faith works by love. Read 1 Corinthians 13. Learn about the love of God. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and see the kind of love that Jesus had. He was very compassionate to the sinner. But to the Pharisee and Sadducee, He rebuked them and called them snakes and vipers. And that's love to the sinner and to the one who's going astray. It was love when Jesus Christ threw the money changers out of the temple and He made a whip and He chased them all out. That was love. Learn about God's kind of love because that's how faith works. And without the love of God in our life, faith won't work. It's just not going to work. So put your faith into action. Diligently seek God. You will reap the reward that God has for you. Because the Word of God says that all the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. So do we all want to be pleasing to God? I want to be pleasing to God. Amen.